Hello, welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm talking again with Shireen Chadha. Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Dan.
And this topic is the swing of happiness. And it's a swing for a metaphor that Shireen wants us to think about, of how it swings one way, then the other, ropes tying it, etc. So I can't wait to hear her description here.
You know, have you ever seen pictures of paradise that is depicted in Hinduism?
I'm not sure the picture you're talking about. So.
But there are several pictures of paradise or the Golden Age or Satyuga that are depicted, and all of them really are very happy and they're swinging in swings and all of those things. But anyway, the image that came is the reason that it's actually a spiritual metaphor also for swinging. And then the ropes, the two ropes that tie the swing, is one rope is a spiritual path, like a remembrance of God and all of those things, mm-hmm. and the other rope is service of humanity.
Uh-huh.
And so even if one rope is slack, then the swing won't be strong enough. And it to have happiness, to be able to swing in that happiness, both the ropes or both the cords have to be strong and firmly planted and at the same equal length.
So that keeps us from falling into the trap of thinking we ought to just be spiritual or we should just be in the world.
Right, right. Especially helping people, mm-hmm. is the service of humanity, is helping people, either one. Or to think that I can get happiness by not serving people, I feel it's not possible. You have to, I think both the cords are very important. My own spiritual path, a connection with a higher power, remembrance of a higher power, and service.
There's a lot of spiritual tradition, of course, and the BKs feel this way. Christianity is in the service of helping people. That's part of it. I was reading something recently about Viktor Frankl and Search for Meaning, and the distinction was made between happiness being things we get from the outside in and the joyfulness of being on purpose.
Right.
And that is an inside-out approach.
Right. I wasn't playing with semantics, mm-hmm. like that. I meant happiness as in that joy.
The joyfulness,
the deep sense of contentment, fulfillment that comes with all of these things.
So it helps to have a way of being in the world to experience our joyfulness, but it is not the outcome coming from the world that's giving. It's the lila, it's the play
right
within it. Good.
The other thing I was thinking about happiness is a good connection creates good communication, and good communication creates happiness and love in relationships.
I think that is so just perfect. And good communication in that context it's mainly good, well-intended communication. In coaching,
without any contempt.
Right. It's the feeling of it. It isn't, I'm being good to you so I get A. It is, I'm being good to you for the sheer enjoyment.
Or I'm being sarcastic. Because a lot of relationships tend to deteriorate into really putting them down and stuff after a while.
Yeah. There was, I'm married to my best friend now for 40 years. And early in our relationship, I was lying back with my arms up and reached over to tickle me. And we've talked about this recently, so it came to mind. I said, please don't do that, because I'm competitive by nature. And there's got to be one person on this planet that I am 100% vulnerable to, that I don't hold back and I don't count up. I can't keep score. And so in this win-lose game of one-upmanship, I'd rather not play. And happily, she understood that and felt then and feels the same way. But part of that is sarcasm is You say, I'm just teasing, but it's like stabbing with honey on the knife.
Right, it's, right.
Just as there's
sweetness. You know, in the book Blink, I read about this professor somewhere in Chicago, I think University of Chicago, where he asked couples to talk to each other, and within 5 minutes he can tell how long their relationship is going to last. And he apparently checks for 21 things, and people were like, in 5 minutes, how can you check for 21 things? And he said, no, actually, I just check for one thing.
Contempt.
And so all of this very subtle disapproval and, you know, I don't like what you're doing, disappointed, the other person did something not to your expectation, all of that. But I feel there should be something. You can't keep communicating those things, but also to really have happiness, I feel there has to be a good connection. And the good connection has to be a connection with a higher power, a connection with your higher self, not just the everyday mundane self, that there has to be a connection with your own higher self and a higher power before the communication can happen and before relationships can be of happiness.
So that's at the root. I was in a conversation, frankly, within the last week, and it was a father talking about his daughter, and I won't go into details on this, but she gave him some news that he didn't approve of. And he was driving. He said, thank goodness I was driving because I didn't have to look at her. And then I said, okay, you know, you're welcome to come by the house and I'll help you with such and such. And I just held back what I really wanted to say. And I found myself posing the question, is it authentic if we stop our comment at the lips as opposed to...
If you're going to hurt someone, it is very authentic to stop.
Well, it's appropriate to pretend that she doesn't get the disapproval, I think, is the illusion. In other words, my belief, and I don't know if I'm right on this, this is why I'm raising it to you, the ultimate relationship communication is, I love you just the way you are, though that behavior is troubling. So it's at the being level, it is the connection. You're great with me.
Yeah.
We can look, and with our children, it's hardest. Because
you're expecting so many things.
We have so much. And you know, from grabbing them to keep them from running in front of a car, we do that for the rest of our lives. It's just different metaphors.
Right.
But at what point can we, I mean, certainly to scold was not as appropriate as holding his tongue, but in my belief, and I don't know if it's true, anyone paying attention can watch that little flash, as the Blink example was, flash of disapproval, which shows up in micromuscular feelings. So,
you know, it's important because the disapproval is not just an external showing. Your body language, your attitude is what you have to change. And it's very hard. I cannot tell parents how they should parent because it's a very hard, very hard task. But I feel that you will be happy, they will be happy, if you go away from these things.
Right.
Somehow, as a parent, be responsible for being the parent, you know, having age-appropriate behavior and not behave like a child, and really understand these things, understand this connection with a higher power, and understand a connection with your higher self and communicate that, because then your attitude changes. And so this contempt or is not coming in your facial expressions, it's not coming in your language, it's not coming in your actions towards the person, all of those things. But I want to go back to happiness, actually.
Sure.
I don't want to talk about relationships that much. I was thinking that when I progress, when I really spiritually progress, and that's one of the ropes, is a connection with a higher power, remembrance of who I am in my original state, all of that make me progress. When I progress, there is genuine happiness.
Right.
And my happiness shouldn't come from external things. My happiness shouldn't come from my daughter doing something or not doing something. My happiness shouldn't come from me having a particular car or not having a particular car. but it has to come from me genuinely progressing.
Right.
And if that happens, then I will have genuine happiness. Because if I don't, then one day they're doing fine, I'm happy. The next day they're not doing fine, I'm sad. And so I yo-yo.
Yeah.
So it's not beneficial for either because of my, swinging in these things. And so that's important. And the other thing I was thinking is not to dwell on sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
If to really be happy, you shouldn't be dwelling on sorrow.
Yeah, I agree. Because you're focusing on the negative.
Yeah.
Now,
and it seems simple. It seems like obvious, but I know a lot of people who keep going on and on about sorrow in their heads. This person said this, and I did this,
right.
And that person said this and that. And that dwelling really takes me away from being happy.
Which brings back, actually, you helped me understand what I posed to you before. The key isn't not feeling sorrow. The key is dwelling on sorrow. And authenticity, at least in my belief, is an important component of that joyful happiness, of being who we are. So if we feel something is an inappropriate behavior, it's not bad to react to that saying, that bothers me. But to dwell on you are bad because you did something that bothers
me. Or it reflects you.
Oh, yeah. You're my child, therefore it reflects me.
Yeah. Or any kind of sorrow, right? I mean, you didn't get something.
Yeah.
And you keep dwelling on it. Why didn't I get it? Am I this? Am I that? All of that really takes you away from the swing of happiness.
Absolutely. So I'm going to play a different way on the swing of happiness, not where you were going particularly, but also if we are too externally oriented, because you alluded to this behavior I'm happy with and this behavior I'm sad, we're also swinging back and forth in that sort of superficial happiness. Today I am not happy because my team lost. Tomorrow
right.
I'll be happy if they win. That's attaching to some false gods of sorts.
Right. Right.
So maybe the unattachedness that we've talked about so often is one of the keys with that.
Especially with teams, right?
Especially
it's so funny. People always ask me, do you watch a particular sport? And I said, no, I don't really believe in duality. And they think out of space or something.
But within that, there is a, I'll say this as someone who loves, I have some sports teams I really like. And part of that game is, it feels good to get into the surge, even though it's like watching a dramatic
play. But there's
play.
Always a payoff.
There's always a payoff, a positive and a negative payoff.
Exactly.
And they are essentially equal. If we start believing that that's who we are, as opposed to what we're enjoying in the moment.
Yeah, right.
So, okay, what else on the swing of happiness?
The final one.
Yeah.
Is I give happiness, I receive happiness.
Very nice. What if we give happiness but don't feel we're receiving happiness?
Then your giving is based on expectation.
Ah, very good. So we're not giving unconditionally, because if we're giving, caring, communicating unconditionally, then the outcome doesn't matter that much.
Yeah, but you're giving also something other than spiritual happiness.
Yeah.
You're giving something, it's like a bargain, you're making a bargain, it's not giving. You have to really, from the goodness of your heart, from charity, you have to donate it. You can't make a bargain
so
with
it
happiness.
It's not a barter, it is true giving.
Yeah.
And so there is no expectation with how it will be received.
Right.
That's a really nice piece. So within the swing of happiness, is there one bottom line then? Give without expectation? What else? Build our spiritual self.
Don't dwell on sorrow. Remember the two ropes, the cords that tie the swing.
Mm-hmm.
Remembrance of a higher power, remembrance of my highest self, and service to humanity.
Very nice. And if we're feeling good, contented, centered, then we're probably doing it fairly well. Good. Thank you, Shereen.
Thank you, Dan.
I enjoyed this. I hope you enjoyed our talk. Goodbye.